So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Welcome, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. This is the first time I've left my couch in months.
How are the legs still working?
On a Wednesday afternoon, yeah. Maybe. I think actually I do realise I have left my couch because there are obviously life things that need to happen, and I have actually been a couple of places. Anyway, hey, so it's nice to see you, though. It's mm-hmm. nice to be back in the studio.
Nice to see you too. Last Wednesday you were talking about making the trek down K Road and Queen Street to go to the IMAX.
So indeed,
you clearly
indeed.
Have got out. And
no, that's true. Unless I'm just going to bluff my way through it today, and actually I just watched it twice on my laptop illegally during the lockdown. No, I didn't. I went to IMAX on Friday, I kind of thought it was going to. We'll get to the movie in a moment, but I thought I was going to walk out into a war zone. But I get the kind of feeling that people had either peaked early on Friday night at bars and restaurants or whatever, or absconded home for early kick-ons, because it wasn't quite the carnage that I thought I was going to be walking home through along Kanangahape at 11:30.
I rode my bicycle along around 7:30 along K Road, and it was humming. It was busy, but perhaps it was just people seated having dinner.
I think it was dinner and on the chop. It was what was the vibe. On the way to June was definitely more hijinks than on the way back. Mm-hmm. But hey, what a trip to the movies. Obviously, a bunch of people have now seen this film, whether it's been sneakily over the past little while or since it's been in cinemas from Friday. But I cannot recommend the IMAX experience enough with this one. And this is a rarity. This film, I just checked out when you can go to see it next on IMAX, and it's sold out until Monday.
Wow.
Because they've got capacity limits there of 100. It's quite a nice way to watch a movie with. There's definitely other people there, and you can vibe with the audience, but
yeah,
got a bit of room, which is nice in these times.
The film itself, are you prepared to divulge some sort of information, dish out the goss?
Freaking masterpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can tell it's you can tell it's the film that someone has spent many years of care and attention bringing to the screen. June, I thought we had some spirited conversations afterwards with the gang that I went with, like who'd read it, and I think most people have seen the David Lynch version that's kind of fairly imperfect. I remember kind of battling through maybe the first two novels in the June series, but I always found it a bit of a slog. So
I read the first one maybe like 10 years ago, probably, which is quite late in the piece, but I mean, I thought it was pretty easy reading at the time. It didn't get any further than the first novel, though, but I thought it was pretty good. Is the first film just the first novel?
First film is half of the first novel, so okay. When we got to see a little bit of like a sneak peek at it just before lockdown commenced, turned out to be the first 10 minutes of the film, and at that stage there was kind of that squabble going on. HBO Max were going to be streaming it the same day that it was in theatres, and the director Denis Villeneuve was furious because he wanted people to go to see his movie on a giant cinema screen. He'd shot it, much of it, in IMAX format, so he really was really pushing that, and sort of going, at the same time you're actively encouraging people to watch it on their couches. And then there were also scraps going on between you know, cast and crew and films, who this was happening to their films as well, and they were not going to get their cut of the back end profits because no one was going to be buying, they wouldn't sell anywhere near as many tickets.
Yeah.
So all this kind of stuff was swirling, but Denis Villeneuve still called his movie June Part One, and at the time I thought it was a big middle finger to the studio, going, I dare you to not make another one of these.
Yep.
And I think that's very much where this first installment leaves off. Like, you just want to watch more. I could have done another 2.5 hours in that world. Absolutely. Fantastic performances. The cast of this film is incredible. I can't say that I've ever been hugely won over by Timothée Chalamet, but he's excellent in the lead. But really, it's just a company of fantastic actors, from Rebecca Ferguson to Oscar Isaac, Jason Momoa, Stellan Skarsgård. Just, yeah, it's fantastic across the board. Probably one of the things that is most impressive about it, the overall aesthetic's fantastic, and this is where IMAX really comes in. The it looks huge on that screen. The Hans Zimmer score is awesome and quite weird, but I think what will probably work in any format is just that Villeneuve's managed to shoot these or put these giant ships and structures and landscapes on screen, all of which have a real weight to them and feel very tangible. It's a really tangible feeling sci-fi movie, no surprise, it's really reminiscent of his Blade Runner film in that regard.
Oh yeah, nice.
So, if you dug the look and feel of that, you're on very similar turf here. But yeah, go see it. Can't recommend the IMAX enough. Monday is the soonest you'll get there. I have noted that they've got sessions up on the event site from Monday through Wednesday at the moment. I think they'll add some more next on Monday, but get your good seats. Make sure you've got a good view of the screen, not looking at it side on. You don't want to be right down the front looking straight up either for this one. It's too long of a movie for that.
Someone is asking via the text machine, Steve, do you need to wear a mask at the movies?
Well, this was a good question, and it was a good discovery just seeing how movies are working under red. So not during the film, although I would imagine that some cinemas would be encouraging that you do so, but it's really kind of masks inside the compound, and once you're seated, like, it's kind of a restaurant scenario, right? Yep. Like, you're sitting down, you've got your popcorn and your drink.
Yes.
The reason that it's hard to get tickets for that particular cinema, and it's probably something you'll find at other big ticket films on other screens as well, is just with that 100 capacity limit, you're being seated with a bit of a buffer area around you.
Yeah.
As someone that loathes movie talkers and interrupters, I think that this is actually a fantastic development, apart from the fact that cinemas would go out of business if they had to trade this way.
Yeah, totally.
Year round.
Nice one.
So, yeah, really good. You'll notice I did a very spoiler-free review, John.
Yes.
A borderline, was that even a review at all? Because,
well, I mean, you said it was a masterpiece.
Spoilers are very much on my mind at the moment, particularly after this week's episode of Succession, which had people frothing online. And
I saw David Ferrier maybe post something about it.
I got a newsletter from David Farrier with a subject line relating to that episode where he'd starred out a couple of words, which was, can you really... I even thought his subject line was a little bit spoilery, so I won't repeat it, but it just sort of shows how tentatively maybe you should approach things. What I was curious to find out from the listeners was, what is the acceptable time for spoilers? Obviously, you've kind of got, we can talk about, I think, everything that happens in a movie, X amount of months or years after it comes out. And of course, people want to talk about what just happened on TV. But if you're, if you're hypothetically, let's say, it's not hypothetically, someone did it, polling whether the end of Succession meant that, did this happen to the main character or this? And it's like, dude, it was just on. Not even a day ago.
Yes. I guess it kind of has changed with streaming because it's, you can watch it any old time. Whereas if it was old school terrestrial TV, everyone would be talking about it the next day. And there's
totally
no escape.
So the old water cooler television where the stuff of office gossip. But yes.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Streaming. I guess it's up to the person in the room who intends to watch it to put the brakes on that conversation. You need to put your hand up and say, look, I'm planning to watch this series, do not talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I probably don't use the mute function on Twitter nearly as much as I should.
I guess the online sphere, right? Oh damn.
Yeah, I don't know. But let's canvas the audience, because I'm curious to see what the vibe is.
Have you blasted it out? Are you up to speed, or it's been ruined for you?
Yeah, no, it's all good. I'll tell you the things if you like. It's been 2 days. It's fine. Yeah. Oh no, sorry, not quite. It's been a day and most of another day. So.
But I mean, obviously, from all the hype which has been generated around Succession, I should probably recommit to this TV series and try and get into it.
I think so. It's a real goodie. It's one of the things to look forward to.
Okay.
Of our weeks, and you know, sometimes they feel like they're increasingly in short supply. Mm-hmm. So get on board. Speaking of things to look forward to as well, just really briefly, the full lineup for next month's In the Shade Film Festival was unveiled this week. This is kind of the, in some ways, this is kind of a catch up for the New Zealand International Film Festival mm-hmm. titles that we missed out on getting to see up
yes.
here. So it's a chance for Auckland to see some of those.
How did they wrangle them all? Are they just, they're all international film festival type films, right?
There's a couple of local films. There's yep. There's the 40th anniversary restoration of Merita Mita's Patu, her Springbok tour documentary, mm-hmm. which would be great to see on the big screen. And also documentary Fiona Clark Unafraid, which was a film festival highlight, which is like a biographical documentary on the photographer who, among other things, documented Auckland's queer scene in the 70s and kind of like ran up against the bigotry of the state and media yes. in doing so.
Yep.
But that's a great film. It was a real shame that Auckland, which is, you know, the centre of a lot of that imagery, was denied the chance to kind of come together and see it on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some newer titles as well. Like, it's the first chance we'll get to see Paul Thomas Anderson's new film, Licorice Pizza,
mm-hmm.
Named after the LA record store of yore. Also, Guillermo del Toro's new film, Nightmare Alley. So yeah, have a look at In the Shade. I think the website's intheshade.co.nz.
Mm-hmm.
There's more than you could possibly hope to see playing, and that's across the Hollywood Avondale and Academy Cinemas. I really like how they pitched this as kind of a go to the beach during the day, sit in aircon at night,
yeah,
type buzz.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's nice timing.
Indeed, and there's talk of a beer garden at the Hollywood Avondale for this as well, which...
Yeah, I've heard they've been doing some gardening.
Having seen you in full flight DJing in that little courtyard area, it's a nice place to hang out. Don't laugh.
It is.
It's a nice place to hang out. It is. You should go and play some records during this film.
That would be awesome. All right, Steve, thanks for the heads up.
Sweet as.
Cheers, brother.
I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.